listening to Battle Red Radio. My name is Matt Weston, and this evening I'm joined by my good friend Taylor. How are you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing okay. I still don't know what we're doing talking about this division. Are we just going to be talking about half the teams here? I don't know what you do. I just got off of work. This ear interrupting me. This is my time where I get to now watch True Blood because I've now gone back in time to 2008, and I'm trying to live a nice, peaceful lifestyle. And what do? You bug me.
Well, I know last time we talked about how much we hated the NFC East. I kind of hate this division also. Like, I hate NFC East the most. And this is probably my second least favorite division.
Listen, I hate the NFC East, but at least it's competitive in ways. Even if it's bad competitive, it's still something there. This, I don't know what's here, Matt. There's nothing here.
Well, I think of all the ones we've done, this one is probably going to make you the angriest, from what I have to say.
You keep saying this, which is really bothering me. It's almost like you're going to hurt my feelings or you're going to post a nude photo of myself. I hope you do.
A nude photo or a nude photo?
Dude, N-U-D-E. Okay. What type of photo am I talking about here?
I said a new photo. So yeah, I post a photo of you once a week. So you got to stop posting pictures of me.
That'd be amazing if you did that. Just make sure I look good. Make sure it's on my good side. You get my bad side, I swear to God.
Yeah. Well, not this time. But so we'll start with the Chicago Bears. The last time we saw the Chicago Bears, they were the seventh seed in the NFL playoffs, proving already that the addition of an extra playoff team is stupid, a waste of time, an absolutely terrible idea. And they played that crappy, idiotic Nickelodeon game where the only thing the Bears did of any excitement or merit was run a double reverse pass and then watch their wide receiver drop in the end zone. And that was the only chance they had to even score any points at all. And they were pretty much blanked. But yeah, they played a pretty easy schedule last year. They won some close games. They switched from Foles to Trubisky, and Trubisky had like a better year than he did the year before, mainly because he played against easier teams. And Nick Foles had that two of those hoofed wins where, he beat Atlanta, he beat Tampa Bay, and then he struggled against, better competition on top of that. So here they are. The Bears are back again, but with two new quarterbacks in Andy Dalton and Justin Fields. How long do you think Andy Dalton's going to be the starter here in Chicago this year?
Okay, so first things first, we have to start with this, Matt. Do you hear what Andy Dalton said?
What did he say?
What he said whenever Justin Fields was named the starter. He's like, yeah, I had to make sure that he understands that this is my time. The hell is the matter with you?
He's 33. He hasn't been good in like 4 years.
Everyone has seen his time. Your time has already been passed. Red Rocket, you're done. You blew up on the launching pad. It's time for that new young rocket that's now going to be coming up. And for him to say that, even in preseason, his ass is already being booed, where then Justin Fields has to be like, hey, audience, I don't think that's very kind to do that to Andy. And then Andy says that crap. Andy can go to hell.
I like it. I'm also like, Dalton, so 3 years ago he got hurt. 2 years ago he was awful in Cincinnati. Last year he was awful in Dallas. And we know what Dalton needs. He needs a really great offensive line and really great skill players. Yeah. And if he has that, he can be like the 14th best quarterback. So what do the Bears have? They have a bad right side of their offensive line. They don't know who's going to start left tackle for them. Their skill players are really weird, where it's Allen Robinson, Demir Byrd, Darnell Mooney, Marquise Goodwin, Cole Kmet, Jimmy Graham, and David Montgomery. Like, it's fine. Like, this is probably like,
do you feel good about them?
I think it's like the 18th best skill position group.
I'll put it this way. Even with how bad Dallas is, he had all the weapons in the world. So if he can't do anything with those type of weapons, now, in my opinion, we're taking a step back with these weapons. There's no way in hell.
At least the offensive line is probably a little bit better for Chicago this year than it was with Dallas's four-string offensive lineman, where Zach Martin's playing left tackle, then he gets hurt.
To answer your question, though, to begin with, It's going to be, man, Nagy's such a terrible coach. Five games. Yes.
Yeah, I don't like Nagy very much either. And, like, he runs such a cute little offense, too, you know? It's all these little screen passes and all these, you know, funky formations and these little shovel passes. And none of it goes anywhere. And none of it has any sort of, like, big play or big gain ability at all.
Well, and let me ask you this, because I know that you have so much time on your hands now because you have nothing to do these days. So why am I hearing that with Buffalo, Trubisky looks so good and Nagy just ruins quarterbacks? Everyone is now having a theory that either Nagy is gone after this year or he's going to ruin Justin Fields.
Interesting.
It's one of those two things that are going to happen, because – if he stays and Justin Fields becomes a starter, everybody just believes that he's going to ruin it.
Well, I think one thing that's important here is that I think bald visor is the worst look a man can have.
Man,
it's an awful look. Why even do it?
The visors. I'm not a fan.
Yeah, visors are terrible in general unless you're playing NFL Street. And if you're bald, what's even the point of having a visor then?
I don't know either. I don't know what you're trying to do. Because it's like you're trying to emphasize the bald.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing.
It's like you're mooning everybody both your head.
And nobody wants to see it. It's disgusting.
Yeah. But I mean, like Nagy, of course, you know, he came from Andy Reid's. He was the offense coordinator underneath Andy Reid, which is a pretty easy thing to do, as we've seen. And then his one great year in Chicago, that was the year in the Bears had DVOA of like, it was -25.4%. They had +14 turnover differential. They forced like 32 turnovers. And they had that bad loss against Philadelphia. But their offense wasn't good that year. It was just their defense set up really short fields for them to score, you know, 24, 27 points. And they dropped down to like 20 and 16 points, that sort of thing. But, I mean, I think the thing about Trubisky, I know that they crushed Green Bay. He looked great, like, as a backup quarterback. And no different than, like, Fields has been pretty good against backup players, too, you know.
So, but that's kind of – well, with Justin Fields, though, that's kind of the point here is that – he and everyone has said, I don't watch really much of preseason because I think preseason is a big waste of time.
Of course it is.
Yeah. But when it comes to just – because, by the way, watching Hard Knocks and seeing the guys, like, play against each other in, like, the scrimmage practices where you see, like, the L.A., Dallas, and all the other teams do it.
Yeah.
It just seems like that's, like, more of a preseason to me.
Oh, for sure it is.
What they show us. So when it comes to Justin Fields, however – I mean, apparently he's looked great, and everyone's been loving it. It's just, it seems like that it's going to be a lot of talent versus Nagy being the one that's really making the plays and all that.
Yeah, I mean, I really like Fields. I just wish he went to, like, I wish he went to the Jets. Like, I think the Jets have been a better place for him to end up at than Chicago, and part of the reason why is, like, Nagy's offense, I don't think, really takes advantage of the deep passing game. Again, everything's so cute and stupid, you know?
Hold on.
It's like it's the Alex Smith offense. Where your quarterback's a point guard instead of a quarterback.
What's his face down in New York has a cannon? I truly.
Oh, I know. I saw his preseason stuff. I'm like, all right. Well, maybe. I know. I was like, I hate him there in the Jets. I wish he went somewhere else, but he looked pretty good there, though.
Dude, he has. I didn't know he had that arm. So whenever they showed him preseason, holy smokes, Cotton, she's got a cannon.
Yeah.
It was so quick. It was like the Justin Herbert that we saw last year. We're like, oh, my God, where did this come from? And he looks tinier.
It was a real G. Willikers moment. So this is the Bears' schedule. At Los Angeles, Cincinnati, at Cleveland, Detroit, at Las Vegas, Green Bay, at Tampa, San Francisco, at Pittsburgh, bye week, Baltimore, at Detroit. So they have like... Three of their first five games are winnable. Then they go on a complete murderer's row for 4 weeks, and then they get Detroit. So my cute little prediction, though, is I think Fields is going to start week 12 against Detroit because of the way the schedule plays. Like, I think Andy Dalton will have him at, like, maybe your two or three wins through the first five. Yeah. Because, again, I think Dalton will have him at, like, two or three wins through 5 weeks, and they're going to get skunked by Green Bay, Tampa, San Francisco, Pittsburgh, and Baltimore. And then you don't want to start Fields against either one of those defenses. And then they'll start him against week 12 against Detroit. And then he'll get Detroit, Arizona, Green Bay, Minnesota, Seattle, the Giants, and Minnesota. And then you have enough. You give them some chance to learn, some time to learn, give them easier teams to play against. And also, he gets to play enough games where you have a, kind of a better idea of what he is as a professional quarterback, too.
So then, are you saying that Chicago just seems like they're kind of tanking?
Not tanking at all. I just think it's they don't have a, that That's good right. of a team. No, I think they are. I think with Nagy, like, Nagy could get fired after this year. Same thing with Pace. Pace could get fired after this year, too. So I don't think they're tanking at all. I just don't think they're that good. I think the schedule's tough, too. From like, well, like it's tough in the middle. And like with Dalton, Dalton's not going to beat Tampa, San Francisco. And as much as I don't like Pittsburgh, you know, I don't think he's going to beat them or Baltimore or Green Bay.
I think he has probably three wins out of that. So I think that's the thing is that I'll still even stick by that. I think after, okay, I'll even say after week five, because I'll say that Dalton's going to go 2-3 and then the voices are going to start to happen where everyone's going to start to yell and scream. Because to your point, this schedule should be easy enough where Dalton has a winning record.
And it could be. Or like they'll be 2-3 or 3-2, you know.
But if he's 3-2, then he keeps his job.
Yeah. I mean, the way I see it is you're better off starting Fields week one. And if you don't, then just don't play Fields until week 12. Like just the way the schedule looks, you know.
17 games now, Matt. Don't you forget? You have so many games now to play in the NFL. There's so much time, which is why you can do the 5 weeks, but then if you're really interested in making a playoff spot, you're going to switch the guy out.
Well, that's 7 games for Fields if he plays week 12.
No, I'm not in for that. I'm still not in for that.
I just wouldn't let his first game be against Tampa Bay. You know what I mean? Or against Baltimore, or against Pittsburgh, you know?
That's what Dak's first game is going to be against this year.
Yeah, it's not the same thing.
It's the same thing.
No, it's not.
It's the same team.
Yeah, like, I mean, Robinson's great. I like Darnell Mooney a lot. Like, if you play fantasy football, I think he could be an interesting sleeper player. They have Marquise Goodwin, who's like a, supposed to be a deep wide receiver. And same with Mooney, and that's the thing that's weird about him. It's like a lot of his Trubisky never kind of developed that downfield throwing ability, but his offense isn't really good at creating that either. So it's a lot of Allen Robinson. I think the most interesting thing for this offense for me is whenever they run two tight end sets. Like, I really like Cole Kmet. And their two tight end sets with him and Jimmy Graham last year were actually the best personnel, like the best offensive formation that they had. And so, like, that's kind of what I'm most excited to see whenever Chicago plays with Andy Dalton is how they use those two tight end sets.
I'm not sure if I'm going to be excited for that. Again, Dalton is not, man, I watched this guy last year. I believed in the Red Rocket. I went on and on about it, making myself look like an ass.
Yeah, you wanted him. You got monkey's pawed.
Dude, I did
this. You got fisted by the monkeys, Paul.
Oh, my God. Double fisted. I never want to ever cheer for this guy ever again, which is why I just don't see it, even with the tight ends. But, I mean, it just seems
I just like it. You know, they had a DVOA of 5.2% in that personnel. You know, like, I like Kmet. Like, Graham's just a red zone threat now. He's not really good, like, play-by-play. Yeah. He's just, like, he boxes out guys who are 5'10".
Just go and stand. Hey, Jimmy, run 3 yards and just stand in the end zone. Hopefully you're big enough to just catch the pass. I just feel like, I don't know, the tight ends are so dominant because they're wide receivers, in my opinion. I don't like Allen Robinson that much.
All he does is get like 1,200 yards every year, though.
I know. And granted, he hasn't had the best quarterback play for him. And yet
his whole career. It was Bortles and then Trubisky.
Hey, man, I love me some Blake Bortles, though. Yeah, he's the best he's ever seen.
We had one fun year. Well, he had two good years. Remember his rookie year, he threw for like 4,500 yards, and they were bad. He threw like 30 interceptions, and then he had that 2017 season where he like, you know, managed things completely. The weird thing about the Bears, too, is that they have the oldest team in football, and this is the result of them trading all the draft picks they traded to get Khalil Mack, to move up and get Trubisky, to move up and get Fields. And so they don't really have a lot of depth at all. This team is pretty much all stars and scrubs. A lot of their star players were kind of acquired by making trades up to select guys. And it's an old team too. So like it's kind of weird if you look at, you know, where the future of the Bears may be with Fields, where, you know, you have a guy who's gonna be on a rookie contract, and let's say like he's actually like a starting quarterback, you'll have Fields on this team that's really old. And so like you may be in a setup where, you know, Fields is on an old roster, and it may take like 2 or 3 years for them to even have a good football team around him, even if Fields turns out to be one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL anyways at all. And so it's just kind of a weird fit for Chicago. I think they're kind of, they're stuck right now. I think the franchise in general is kind of in a bad place at the moment.
I agree. And I think Nagy is to blame, which is why.
And their GM is in combination with that too. Like, he went all in on that one season. They had the double doink missed field goal, and that kind of crushed them that year.
So who decided on Justin Fields though?
I guess Pace did.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, Pace traded up to select him.
Exactly. I don't think it was Nagy on this. I don't think Nagy wanted
I think Nagy
it.
Celebrated, and he was like, yeah, woohoo, that sort of thing.
I'm not sure that he liked it at all.
That's what the team report said. That's the reporting inside the building.
Yeah. Oh, let's make himself look good there. That's why Andy Dalton's the starter, not Justin Fields. But when it comes to how, with my IQ prediction for this team, it's just going back to where Nagy, I think everything is just Nagy's fault here. He's fired after this season.
Okay.
Yeah, he's gone. Donezo. Because this team's not going to make the playoffs. And his team's going to have a losing record. Well, and I don't think this team should.
Yeah, and then you have this stupid seventh wild card thing. And all of a sudden, they're making the playoffs and they shouldn't at all. But the defense is still really good. Like, they have 1, 2, 3, 4. They have 5 stars on it with Akeem Hicks, Roquan Smith, Khalil Mack, Jalen Johnson, Eddie Jackson. Yeah, they can't get hurt. I think the dumbest move this team made was giving Robert Quinn the contract he got.
What did they pay him?
They paid him like 4 years, $80 million.
Holy crap.
And he's like 32 years old entering this year. Last season, he was healthy all year. He had 18 pressures, 6 hits, and 2 sacks. Has not played up to his contract at all. And they're stuck with him for a little bit. I'll pull up his exact age. He is going to be Akeem Hicks is 32. He's going to be 31 this year. So Max 30, Hicks is 32, Quinn's 31, and they don't really have any like defensive line depth at all. Like, it's all based around those 3 guys.
Yeah, no, exactly. And so if one of those guys even go out, then now your defense is struggling, where then you have Andy Dalton. It's just, again, you don't have anything that's really coinciding for me, where no side of the ball for me here is dominant. Because no matter what, injuries are going to be able to happen. So you just have to automatically go in to expect that some of those guys on the defensive end are going to be knocked out for a few weeks. So then you're expecting your offense to be able to lift it. And I just don't see it this year with them. And that's why I think if Justin Fields was playing, you have a little bit of a better shot, because he'll be able to create more. Without it, I don't get the defense either. I'm not a fan of it.
Yeah, so they gave Quinn 5 years, $70 million, but they can cut him after next year to be able to save like $12 million cap space. Had to pay like $12 million in dead money or whatever.
2 sacks last season.
Yeah, but it was $70 million with $30 million guaranteed. But yeah, it seemed like an obvious like overpay, or like the decision Dallas made to sign him was a great decision. But you don't pay for the outlier for an older edge rusher who has spent an entire career, being hurt as well too. So the Bears have had a top 10 defense the last 3 seasons. Do you think they're going to repeat again this year and have another top 10 defense?
I do not. No. It's like what I said. I'm not feeling this at all. This is very, very reminiscent, very similar to like a Houston Texans team, where I don't like anything I'm seeing here, because it just looks like that nothing's really working. And so I feel like this is not going to be a top 10 defense, and this team is not going to be able to make the playoffs regardless of that extra spot.
Yeah, I think it's a good way to put it. And like, I think it's a team that went all in on the Trubisky decision. They had the defense in place. They went all in to move up to select him. Exactly. It didn't work out. They lost 3 years behind that. But it's like their team like had a window. Like, the team itself was here, and the quarterback was here. And now they went to make a trade of the quarterback, as it's going to kind of shift, where you're probably in 2 or 3 years, they're going to have the quarterback, but they're not going to have the team around him at all. And again, like, not having any draft picks for the future by trading up to select him, and some of the decisions they made previously, I think also will hurt that too. Because again, this is one of the oldest teams in football. So my cute little prediction is that Fields starts week 12. Years is that Jim Nagy gets fired after this year, or some point this season at least. The over under 7.5. So what are you taking on this one?
Holy crap. I would never, ever bet this line. So, oh my God. I'm gonna take the under. I'm gonna pick 7 wins.
Yeah, I took the under and did 7 wins as well. And I feel like if I was a gambling man, I would feel confident if I took the under against them.
No, because I was so that's my thing on why I wouldn't say, because it's funny that 7.5, dude, it's 7 or 8.
I just think that that middle part of the schedule is really tough.
I agree. It's just whenever it comes down to the end and not many teams are trying and all that, that's always what I fear.
Yeah, it makes sense. I think it kind of also depends, too, on how well any Dalton does in the first 5 weeks. Like, you make the bet and Dalton's like 1-4, or they start Fields early, you're like, oh, all right. Dicks.
All right. I'm screwed.
Yeah. So the next team here is the Detroit Football Lions. I have a confession. Of all the teams in the NFC North, this is my favorite team. I cannot wait to watch the Detroit Lions this year.
What?
I think they're just so absolutely insane.
What?
And absolutely ridiculous that I'm going to have a ton of fun watching the Lions this year.
Okay.
You want me to make the case for the Lions?
No, hold on, because I know how you are, so I just want to make a guess. Is it because Pene Sewell? I just want to watch the offensive lineman because he could be the best in the draft. I love me some O lineman. That's you. Is that right?
That's one of like 15 reasons why.
Right. Go ahead.
So this is a team who was completely lambasted and destroyed by Matt Patricia's, you know, disgusting beard, his sweaty tits,
his
stupid pencil not on, his dumb degree from a fake rocket school that would have tried to send a whale to the moon and ended up suffocating it, you know, right outside the atmosphere. And like, I think there is so much bad will, you know, built up around this team from Darius Slay having a trade request on social media. It was reported the players had a mimosa party in the locker room after the end of the season because they knew they would no longer have to play for Matt Patricia anymore. Also, all the players that they signed were just all expatriate players. They signed big contracts that were bad players that they completely overpaid for. They did things like, we got to be a tough team, we got to stop the run, and they would sign all these run stoppers, and they would have the worst run defense in football the following season. They played a ton of man coverage, and it never worked, and they pushed out the one cornerback who kind of played man coverage in Slay. They drafted Okuda last year, and he was bad. Matt Stafford got hurt. You know, they never had, like, they were never good at all. They were bad the entire time he was here, and he was there for 3 years. And so I think by hiring Dan Campbell, who's the complete opposite Matt Patricia, I'm so excited for. Like, I would love for Dan Campbell to ground me for an entire month because I forgot to take out the trash. And I'm running out to pull the trash can out, and I'm like 5 minutes too late. And I'm so upset because, you know, my stepdad's gonna come home and ground me for a month. They got rid of 19.
Dirty. Where's this going? Like, I feel like I'm watching something from Cinemax after 11 p.m. What's going on?
They got rid of 19 players. It was like a lot of these like bad Matt Patricia decisions. And also by training for Jared Goff, which there's no funnier place for Jared Goff to play football than the Detroit Lions. It's going to be 20 degrees. There's not a Hollister at any malls. There's not even any malls open in Detroit anymore. So he's not going to be able to find a Hollister at all whatsoever. There's no beach volleyball at all anymore. The pizza there is weird. You know, the lake is going to be very offsetting that it's not the Pacific Ocean anymore. And I don't really know, like, who he's going to throw to either. And so, like, Goff playing in Detroit's funny, but also playing this offense where his wide receivers are Tyra Williams, Breshad Perriman, and Quintez Cephas, and Khalif Raymond. And these are all receivers who are, like, good at running downfield. And, like, they're supposed to be deep threat receivers. And one of the things that Goff has been awful at with the Rams, one of the reasons why Sean McVay traded him, is that he couldn't throw the ball downfield to make, you know, big play throws at all. And so Goff is now in this offense that you can't do that at all whatsoever, which I think is going to be really funny. I think DeAndre Swift is going to catch a lot of passes. He'll be fun to watch. He'll be like Austin Eckler. Like, as you mentioned, their offensive line is one of the better ones in football with Sewell, Ragnow, Vitae, Jonah Jackson, Taylor Decker, and I'm really excited to watch them. I like TJ Hawkinson's hair a whole lot. And, like, defensively, like, I like their edge rushers and Flowers and Okura. I think Okura is one of the most underrated players in the game. And I hope like Jeff Okuda has some sort of bounce back season after having probably one of the most like disappointing rookie seasons we've seen in a while from a defensive player, where a lot of people projected him to be like a no doubt, like shut down cornerback right away, which that very rarely happens. But that was kind of the skill level they tested him to. And so maybe in a Dan Campbell defense, that'll help. The other thing I really like about them also is their coaching staff. So Dan Campbell is their head coach. Anthony Lynn, who I'm kind of whatever on, is their offensive coordinator. Their defense coordinator is Aaron Glenn, though. And also, these are former players on their coaching staff. Deuce Staley, do you remember him from the Philadelphia Eagles?
Yeah, no,
I do. He's their running backs coach. Mark Brunell, he's their quarterbacks coach. Antoine Randall, he's their wide receiver coach. And former Texans head coach and Green Bay Packers defense coordinator Dom Capers here as well to help Aaron Glenn run this 3-4 defense. So those are all the reasons why I'm really excited to watch the Lions. I think unlike the rest of the teams here, the Lions are at least like silly. They're somewhat absurd. And there's like some sort of like intrigue here. Unlike, you know, Chicago and Green Bay and Minnesota, the Lions are a little bit different, you know.
The hell are you talking about?
I'm excited.
Man, I let you rant for just this garbage? This is so awful. What the heck is the matter with you? Oh, my God. Okay, let's start with this. So the only people that are going to be catching passes are TJ Hockenson and DeAndre Swift. None of those receivers are catching passes. So we're already done with the offense. I'm so glad Jared Goff has so much time behind this great offensive line where he's just going to bail out to his running back every 5 seconds. So that's one thing. The other thing when it comes to this defense, what are we talking about, Matt? What do you love? There's nothing. You're like, ooh, Akuda's going to have a bounce back. You hope he does.
I hope he does. I don't know if he does. I hope. I like Okora a lot. Of course, like the only really good player on this defense.
Which Okora?
Romeo, not Julian.
Okay, not Julian. Ass. I just don't understand what you like and what you're going to enjoy. For me, this is a team I'm not going to watch. I'm going to watch this team in 2 years when they're actually going to be decent. I don't want to watch the rebuild process on year one.
Well, you know how I am. I always find like, there's always like a bad team that kind of catches my eye who I can't stop watching.
This is beyond bad.
I think the Lions are going to be that team from this year.
This is, I don't understand. It's only because the offensive line, I know that's all this is. It's only because of the O-line. You are like, oh my God, I love this team so much.
I think they're gonna play hard. I think they're going to be kind of fun. They're going to be kind of feisty. They're going to be a little frisky, you know? Because, again, because Patricia's gone. They're going to be so happy Patricia's in here. The Lions will be kind of little, you know,
yeah,
a little sharper, I guess.
Their quarterback is Jared Goff. All right, he can't wear the flip-flops, Matt. No flip-flops.
I know. It's hard. But so Goff, with pressure, his DVOA was negative 126.8%, which is among the worst in the league. Without pressure, 55.8%. Does that make you more excited to watch the Lions playing behind a better offensive line?
No, this doesn't make me excited at all, because to your point, man, he can't throw the ball downfield. He just can't.
Yeah, and that the receivers don't make any sense at all. They're no, like, what is Goff bad at? Let's get three of those guys.
Tyrell Williams is going to catch one pass a game.
It really is like a solid death trap for Jared Goff. He's playing in Detroit. He can't throw the ball downfield. He has three receivers that only do that. They don't really run play action. DeAndre Swift isn't like a... he's not really like a 25 carry sort of running back. And he's going to be stuck in this like West Coast offense as well too. And I really don't know how many bootlegs they're going to use in that sort of thing too for him either. I think it's like putting his hands in that metal box to try to grab a syringe. Like, that's the Lions for Jared Goff.
Yeah, that's exactly what this is. He might as well be playing a game of Saw, because all they're wanting to do is set him up for failure. Oh, yeah, Chair, we're going to give you some weapons. Here's guys you'll never be able to use. And DeAndre Swift is going to be injured by week 7.
You think so? I hope not.
I don't hope so either. It's just going to happen. At least he has Jamal Williams, who only wants to talk about anime. I am now a huge fan of Jamal Williams. him and I are going to be hanging out one day because all we're going to talk about is anime together. Yeah. And the fact that not one single reporter could have asked him some type of question pertaining to that topic just bothers me.
That's why you got to become a reporter. You got to go back to school.
Well, where's my league pass, man? Are you supposed to get us field passes this year? We're supposed to go.
No, I had heard some bad news this week. I don't think it's going to happen this year. Maybe next year will be different. So, do you think this is the worst defense in the NFL?
It's going to be top five worst.
Last year, they finished last in defensive DVOA. This year, they are predicted to finish 30th in defensive DVOA. Do you think they actually finished last?
I don't want to say they do because obviously there could always be injuries that happen, and Chicago is just a few injuries away from being last. I'm not gonna say last.
I don't think so either. I think they could be maybe like 24th this year.
I was gonna say I'm gonna put them probably at like 28th, maybe some 27th at the most, but that's it.
I just like everything I've heard about Aaron Glenn as a defensive coordinator. And it's kind of the Adam Gase thing. It's like when you go from the worst coach in the world to like at least like solid, you know, an insane person. I think there's some like dead cap bounce potential there too for it. So
Dwayne Campbell can do a spanking, man, okay?
I don't want him to spank me. No. I do not want him to spank me. I want him to be out at the bar.
Punch me.
And have like 10 shots of Jim Beam and then 7 Coors Yellow Belly and then come home and the trash isn't taken out and just absolutely kick the shit out of me. That's what I want Dan Campbell to do to me. I don't want him to spank me. I want to be involved in a domestic abuse tragedy with Dan Campbell involved.
Oh my God. And
my mom's screaming. My mom's screaming for him to stop and he's like, "You're next if you don't shut your whore mouth up."
I love this. That's what I want.
He's just slobbering everywhere like he has rabies.
What is going on? Why is he slobbering? Is he like, "Yeah, I'm going to do this"?
Yeah, he's just so mad. There's just spittle flying everywhere.
I'm disturbed.
Yeah, this is why I went out Dean Campbell. But I think he's the anti-Matt Patricia. Like Matt Patricia like tried to be a tough guy, but he wasn't a tough guy. He was just a big boobed, you know, idiot. Dan Campbell's an actual legitimate tough guy.
That's all he is. He's a big boob. That's all Patricia is. That's because he's not a top. He's not.
All right, so you hear Jared Goff's projections. I know you like these so much every time I bring them up.
So gross.
All right, 63.8% completion percentage. 4,584 passing yards, okay. 25 touchdowns to 12 interceptions, 6.8 net yards a pass attempt, and a DVOA of -0.8%. It's all right.
I was like, I have no arguments here.
It's okay.
That's going to be about right. I would say maybe bump up the INTs a little bit more and maybe put the yards per pass a little bit lower. But other than that, man, I'm in. I don't think that's outrageous to say he'll have 25 TDs. I would hope he has 25 TDs.
Yeah, especially in a 17-game season.
That's what I mean. I mean, come on. You got to at least throw, like, just a TD a game. Maybe just a couple games you throw two.
Their backup quarterback's Tim Boyle, who is the backup quarterback in Green Bay. He's an undrafted free agent who said he was going to challenge Jared Goff for the starting job and hurt his thumb, so that's not going to happen. It's going to be a lot of David Blue if something happens to Goff this year.
Yeah, great confidence he's got there in Boyle.
The other thing that sucks for the Lions is that they play the AFC North and the NFC West too. So they play the four toughest projected schedule also. Like, Jared Goff is going to get, if his offensive line wasn't good, he's going to be bad this year. It's going to be a bad year for Jared Goff.
Like, and that's the thing. He's going to be so bad. And like what I told you, he's only going to throw to two guys the entire season. And if one of them goes down, oh, my God, he's done for.
But I think he kind of deserves it after playing in one of the easiest offenses in football and getting a big contract out of it, not being able to make any throws, only having 3 points against New England in that Super Bowl, and being lauded for, like, again, not doing a whole lot whatsoever. Like, I think this is what Jared Goff deserves, you know?
All I know is what's going to happen when daddy can't tell you what to do.
Yeah, exactly. And this is what he deserves. Anthony Lynn's not going to tell you what to do.
No.
He's going to make you throw 4-yard out routes to TJ Hawkinson.
That's exactly right. And that's what I'm saying. I feel like Goff is just going to be in the pocket going, okay.
For like 7 seconds.
Yeah.
I think he's going to lead the league in coverage sacks taken.
Probably. He's going to have so much time, and he's not going to do anything with it. How do you do that?
I'm excited for it.
No, you're not.
I'm really excited for it.
This is a joke. I can't believe you said you're excited for this team.
I would never joke on the podcast. This is a serious football endeavor.
Okay. We have problems.
We have problems?
We have problems.
I'm excited.
You have big problems. You can't be liking this team. I get you like some O-line play. It's just, and you know what? Never mind. Now I understand. You might as well just be putting a picture of Campbell like every night before you go to sleep. Whenever you look up on your bed ceiling, you just see Campbell and you're like, he's watching.
No. I would have the door cracked open and that picture of Campbell right there.
Closet?
No, not in the closet, like the bedroom door.
Oh my God.
Like he's like making sure that like the lights are actually on going to bed like I'm supposed to because it's a school night.
So then he can sneak into bed?
No, because if I'm not, he's going to come in and beat the shit out of me.
And then sneaking into your bed?
No, there's no. He's not that type of stepdad.
I'm just saying, man. It seems like that's what you're hinting at.
No, there's no sexual aspect to this fantasy.
You're not related.
Not at all. So my key little prediction is that DeAndre Swift leads the team in receptions.
It's not cute little. All right, my cute little prediction is that this is actually probably top 5 offensive line in the NFL.
All right, well, yeah, we'll check the Pro Football Focus offensive line grades of the year and see where they have them. I think this is a top 5 offensive line. And I'm really excited to watch their offensive line this year.
Of course you are. I already knew it.
I'm going to be ignoring my newborn child to watch Detroit Lions offensive line play.
He's going to love that. By the way, your child is already going to be sick to his stomach because he has to watch the Detroit Lions. Not because his dad is not paying attention to him, but it's because he has the Detroit Lions on.
No, I think the Texans are going to do that more than enough. He's like, wait, why can't we watch that game? He's like, we can't watch that. We have to watch the Texans and the Lions.
Okay, yeah, I'm pretty sure he's going to be cheering. You know what? Just get him a Jared Goff jersey. Do that.
A Detroit Jared Goff onesie.
You know what? I'm going to get him one. I'm getting your son a damn Jared Goff jersey now.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea. I think it'd be very funny. So the over-under here is 4.5. Where are you on the lines?
God. This is another one I wouldn't bet, but I'll take the under. 4 wins.
Jesus, I'm taking the under 2, and I have 4 wins also.
The hell is going on? Stop looking at my notes.
You don't even have any notes.
I always have notes. They're written on my hand. How else am I going to cheat?
Underneath your own eyelids. So when you close your eyes, you see them.
That doesn't work. I've tried.
So the next team here is the Green Bay Football Packers. The last time we saw the Packers, they were in the NFC Championship game. Matt LaFleur had one of the most all-time cowardly moments of the postseason last year with Aaron Rodgers scrambling, rolling to his right. I got Goff on the brain.
You got so much Goff on the mind.
What was it? It was like 3rd and 6, right, on that Rodgers scramble on 3rd down where he threw in the back of the end zone.
And he could have ran.
And he said, well, I thought we were going for him 4th down. That's why I didn't run for it. And so the other thing didn't make any sense about that also. It's like, if you think you're going for a 4th down, run for it and get 4 yards. So then you have 4th and 2 instead of, 4th and 6. But anyways, LaFleur kicked the field goal. They kicked back over to Tampa Bay. The Bucs are able to convert with the pass interference penalty on Kevin King to send them to the Super Bowl. And that was the last time I saw the Green Bay Packers after leading the NFL in offensive DVOA. And having a 13-3 record and having the 1 seed in the NFL playoffs, too. This offseason, the Green Bay Packers added, guess how many free agents they had this year?
Hold on. Let me guess. 1.
0. The only one they added was Blake Bortles, and they cut him.
I don't get this team either. And that's why I hate this division. And it's because... you seem like you're hinting that you don't want Aaron Rodgers, but then you don't want Aaron Rodgers to leave. You allow Aaron Rodgers to bash you, throw you under the bus, talk crap about you, but you still like beg him to come back, but yet you're showing him with the team you have around him, you don't care. It just doesn't make any sense to me. There's so many things that it's just the opposite of what you're supposed to be doing, and there's not picking a lane here.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I also, it's kind of funny too, and Aaron Rodgers is like talking about why he was upset. He's like, well, I wanted like more input on the players we kept and we didn't keep at all. And he was naming like bad players like Jordy Nelson, whenever he played one season not in Green Bay, or he flamed out in Oakland. He named Randall Cobb, who was bad, you know, in Dallas, and bad in Houston.
They have Cobb now.
And they got Cobb in a trade back from Houston too. It's like the players that he named that he were upset about not being there. It's like, no, these players are good, Aaron. It's okay. These are good decisions not to keep them. But so last year, do you remember when we talked about the Packers? We talked all about the regression numbers. And they went 13-3 last year. Well, this year, their regression numbers, a term of differential +7. They went 4-2 in one score games. They won 1.8 more games than their point differential expected them to win. They had a strength of schedule of -1.7% DVOA. And they were average in the amount of games lost. So this was a fortunate team for them to go 13-3. And the big difference was that Matt LaFleur ran the most balanced attack in football, and went from like a really stupid run on first down, run second down, throw on third down offense to a really aggressive play action attack that used motion really well and really did a good job of getting Devontae Adams in one versus one matchup so he could run the outside. And so like they hit their ceiling, I feel like, last year. Like, I don't think the Packers are going to be able to play the same level they did last year entering this season.
I completely agree with you. And it's because you didn't get any better. You're not the Tampa Bay Buccaneers here. You had things that were missing where you're not really – you didn't do anything in order to fix it. So now that you're just kind of the same exact team, and to what you just even listed off, it seemed like you exceeded expectations a little bit. You're then planning on doing the same thing. It's like they're trying to catch lightning in a bottle twice. They got lucky last year, dude. We talked about it. It just was – luck in a way.
I think it was, but I also think too, like, LaFleur did a great job last year. Like, no doubt, like, he did a great job really getting the most out of Rodgers in this offensive line, this rushing attack, and did a great job like scheming a balanced offensive attack. And it was like the first good year LaFleur has a play caller. I think he's been overrated in previous years, but last year, like, it finally clicked for him last season though. And so I think that was the biggest difference between 2019 and 2020. But this year, I don't see that available to them at all. Like, I think they're maxed out where they're at right now, at last season.
Well, and the whole thing, too, is do you think that it was really LaFleur, or do you think that it was Aaron Rodgers also changing plays?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's also like when – I don't know. I mean, I guess that's giving a lot of credit to Rodgers, you know.
Well, I know, and I don't like doing that because he's the ultimate douchebag. I still stand by what I've always said. But when it comes to this team, it's – I don't know who's calling the plays ever. I don't know whose fault it is ever, because everybody just kind of hints that it's Rodgers, but then Rodgers just blatantly points at somebody else. So it's really interesting to see what this team has done in this offseason, because everyone expected him to be gone. I don't understand.
I never really did. I wasn't buying it.
Matt, there's no happiness here. Where is the happiness? Where is the guy showing up to work and he's actually excited to be there and actually work with you versus showing up and pretty much just sticking the middle finger going, yeah, I'm here. Suck it. That's what he does. I don't see, unless, dude, Jordan Love's not that good, is he?
He was like, whatever. In that one preseason game, I don't know though.
They're panicking. That's what my guess is. And that's the only reason why he stuck around.
So you think if Love was better, they would have traded him this offseason.
That's exactly what would have happened. But because that Love is not as good as what they were trying to make him out to be, they became desperado, and they knew that they had to get Aaron Rodgers back. But that's what my guess is. Because, by the way, if Love is not good, that's a failure on their part, because that's a waste of a pick that you could have at least given Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, yeah. Well, and even like the Dylan pick, too, like they had their two draft picks, and the 2020 season had zero impact on their 2020 season all whatsoever. And then you kind of carry that on in 2021, where like Dylan had, I think, like 50 carries last year and was good on those 50 carries, but he was a backup to Jamal Williams, you know? And so they had a draft class 2 years ago where they added zero players that had any impact in the last two seasons where they got knocked down the NFC Championship game. And I think that was kind of one of the failures, too, of the current general manager, though.
No, I, and that's what I mean, though. It's weird, and that's why this team doesn't make sense to me. It's like they're doing things. They're like, ha-ha, we're doing these things. We're not going to give you this, but yet we still need you. We love you. Come back. It's just weird because nobody's wanting to give anybody anything, and yet they desperately need Aaron. I just don't get it. But what's funny is at least with Dylan this year, he's going to be getting more touches.
Oh, yeah. He should get like 100, 150.
So we're going to at least be able to see him play. But I don't think we're ever going to be able to see Jordan Love. I don't think he's going to be around after this season either. Because I think this team, I think they'll make the playoffs because this division is so awful. But other than that, I just don't see it.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like this team shouldn't make the playoffs this year.
They shouldn't. They
because
shouldn't.
Of the regression they're facing, the current, like, you know, confrontation between the player and the front office, the fact they added no players to improve this team. They drafted Eric Stokes as a cornerback, Josh Myers to replace Corey Linsley, Amari Rodgers at wide receiver, and Royce Newsome at guard. But like they didn't really lose anybody last year. They lost Kirksey as a starter. They lost Wagner, who started some and not really at all last year. They lost like four starters from his free agent group, but they lost a lot of depth though. And they didn't add anybody at all. And so here's the problem for the Packers this year, is they're like an ultimate stars or scrub team. So if anything happens to Rodgers, they're screwed. Like I know Love is there. I'm just calling him Kevin Love. Like I know Jordan Love is there, and that's fine and all, but it's not the same thing as having Rodgers back there. And even like, let's say like Jaire Alexander and, you know, Za'Darius Smith goes down. This is the 25th best defense in football. Like, this team doesn't have any depth at all whatsoever. And so, like, I think the Packers are in the division. I don't look at this as, like, a Super Bowl contending team at all anymore. I think last year was their like, last chance at it. And they failed, and they were cowards and go for fourth down. That was it. But I think, like, the rest of the division isn't good enough to capitalize on it. But, like, if enough injuries happen, the next team we're going to talk about, I think, could sneak in. But it would take, like, either injuries to Rodgers or, you know, two or three really big defensive injuries to open the door for the Vikings to sneak in and make the playoffs instead of them.
Yeah, the only thing, because I completely agree with you whenever it comes to the defense as well, the defense, even with their guys, when it comes to Za'Darius and all that, it just seems like that it's still kind of a don't break. Like, don't give up enough points here where Aaron can't outscore them, or don't put us too far in the hole where Aaron can't come back from. It just seems like that the defense, again, with their drafting, it's just so bizarre. With this type of team, I'll be honest, you got to choose something. I would just be going all defense if you have Aaron Rodgers in at that point. So that if you want to be able to give him just Devontae and you want to be able to give him the old guys with Nelson and Cobb, just go defense all the way. And they didn't do that.
They really draft based on need. So, like, they lose a player in free agency and they just draft as replacements, what they tend to do.
But it doesn't make sense because it's not going to really get you to win when you're not really getting the positions that you need to fill or to get better at. They're just...
Yeah, I can see that. Well, and, like, last year, too, like, the big reason why they lost to Tampa was they had David Bakhtiari was hurt and they had Billy Turner playing left tackle and JPP had two sacks against them and was a complete, like, absolute terror in that game. And that was kind of like the biggest difference. You know, in that one, they had Kevin King on the outside, and he lost Scotty Miller, and he had those three big pass interference penalties too. And that was the difference in that one. So it's like there are these kind of like little individual holes on the roster, but I think overall, like, it's the roster top to bottom is really solid. But they're really stars and scrub the oriented. The other thing about the Packers too is last year Robert Tonyan had 11 touchdowns. Devontae Adams had 18 touchdowns. Aaron Rodgers had 48 touchdowns. I don't think that's going to happen at all this year. And I think it opens the door for Aaron Jones to see a bump in his touchdowns. But the only thing with that, though, is A.J. Dillon's kind of sitting there, too. I think for sure Dillon's going to get, you know, 100 to 150 carries compared to previous years where, you know, Jones got the majority of it. But the hard thing, though, is they just gave Jones a big contract, too. So it's going to be interesting to see how that dynamic plays out as well.
For me, it actually kind of ties into my little cue prediction here. So the only thing that I really can see Green Bay, and I can truly see this with Aaron Rodgers. Dude, Randall Cobb, if healthy, is going to be a dominant receiver this year.
Jeez.
I think he is going to be an extremely dominant receiver. That is where I'm at.
All right, what would be dominant to you?
Top 20.
In what, yards?
Yards.
Okay, what do you want to bet?
If healthy, though, if he becomes injured, the bet's off.
How many games do you have to start? 14?
14, I was going to say. 14's fair.
Okay, I bet you, I bet you a $25 eBay gift card.
Ooh, all right. I bet you a $25 gift card to Baby Gap.
Sounds good.
All right. But yeah, no, seriously. This is my kind of feeling with this team. It's the only real, I'll be honest, it's the only real positive thing that I have. Because I don't think Tanyan, I don't think that's going to work out. Everyone's just going to be.
He was great last year, though.
He was.
And like Adams was great last year, too. Like all, I just don't see the touchdown rates happen. Like they were really great in the red zone last year.
Everyone's going to be trying to just go after Devontae, which is why I think that Aaron is just going to look at Cobb as that safety blanket.
What about Alan Lazard?
No.
And
no,
Jones is a good pass catcher, too.
Jones is actually going to get a lot of work. My only worry is that if he's going to stay healthy, or to your point, is that if Dylan's just going to come in and then just – what is the word I'm looking for? What's the bird that they say where the running back comes in at the end and scores the touchdown? It's what the Kareem Hunt does. Vulture, that's what I'm looking for. That's the only thing I worry about with A.J. Dylan when it comes to Aaron Jones.
For fantasy this year. Well, it was interesting, too, because Jones was bad in that NFC Championship game, and Jamal Williams is a lot better than he was, you know? Like, Jones is just, like, a worse version of Alvin Kamara.
I think
we've had this conversation before.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that completely. But, yeah, okay, I see where you're going, dude. I just feel like, though, overall, Aaron Jones is going to have a bigger year.
Yeah, I agree with that. Then Kamara? Yes.
No.
Then
no,
Dylan?
No.
Yeah, I think for sure he's going to have better than Dylan.
Well, so let me ask you, do you think Dylan's going to actually show something?
Yeah, I think he's going to be good. I think he's really hard to tackle. He's like 6'2", 255.
That's what I mean. That's why, man, that's vulture. That's vulture all day long.
I think we'll probably have 100 to 250 carries, and Jones will have 150 carries at least, but Jones will have like 50 receptions or 60 receptions.
I'll agree with that, but Dylan will have like 9 TDs.
Maybe. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
So Aaron Rodgers, last year, so these are his touchdown totals, all right? In 18, 25 touchdowns. In 19, 26 touchdowns. Last year, he had 48. DVOA in 18 was 8.1%. In 2019, it was 9%. Last year, it's 33.7%. Do you think last year was an outlier year for Rodgers? Like, is he more the quarterback we saw in 2018, 2019? Or are you expecting him to have an MVP caliber sort of season again this year?
I don't expect him to be MVP. The problem is, though, it's like what we're talking about, though. I just think that this division is going to make him look better than what he is. I just think that because he truly has 6 games where he is just going to look better and look really good, that then people are going to blow you. It's like what we talked about with Lamar Jackson and his ending of his season last year. It's like we called that in week 8 what was going to happen and what the media was going to say. It's the same thing with Aaron Rodgers. He's going to be putting up stats, but it's not going to be up against impressive teams.
Well, they have one of the toughest schedules this year, though. Again, because they play the North and they play the West.
Well, no. And I think that they'll struggle in some of those games. It's just he has so many easy teams to pick off.
This is you don't hear the schedule?
Show me.
This is awful. Week 1 at New Orleans, then Detroit. Week 3 at San Francisco, then Pittsburgh, then at Cincinnati, then at Chicago, then Washington, at Arizona, at Kansas City, Seattle, at Minnesota, Los Angeles Rams, bye, then Chicago, at Baltimore, Cleveland, Minnesota, then at Denver, or at Detroit.
It's pretty tough.
It's really tough.
I still see it. You know what? Okay, I'll say that. It's really tough because I'll even say this. I only see like 11, 12 wins.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. And then defensively, like the Vikings are the only team in the division to upset them last year. And they did that by Dalvin Cook running the ball 40 times. They don't have a good run defense at all. They're inside line. Like I like Chris Barnes a little bit. I don't like Devondre Campbell that much. Kenny Clark is going to be healthy this year. Their defensive ends are Dean Lowry and Kingsley Keke. Preston Smith was terrible last year. Rashawn Gary was like a first-round pick and like the number one overall prospect, but he's never had like a good season. And their defense is really based around their top players making plays. And that's Alexander, that's Darnell Savage, that's Smith, that's Clark. But you know, the issue is that if they lose two or three of those guys, I think this defense is going to completely fall apart like a Weezer song from the Blue Album, you know? And so, like, again, I think the door is
open.
Not that. close. But again, like, I think the door is open for Minnesota. If anything happens to Rodgers and or if they lose two or three of their defensive stars, then the door is open here for Minnesota.
The only reason why I want to say that I want Aaron Rodgers to maybe miss a few weeks, I'm going to see Jordan Love.
Yeah, I want to see him too.
Yeah, I want to be able to see this in action here so that I can actually because I want it to blow up in their face a little bit. I really do. Because, again, this team just doesn't make sense to me with the whole back and forth. But with the defense and what you mentioned before, I get it. I get that you like pieces on it, and I get that if one of those pieces are hurt, then they're done for. I just, even with those pieces, this isn't like a dominant thing here.
No, it's like the 16th best defense.
Yeah, if things are really well for them and healthy. It's just, I don't like this, which is going back to my point. I don't know what they've done. I just don't know where
it's
they've
the same team. It's the exact same team all over again.
And this team can't beat Tampa. No matter what, unless it's some fluke where there's so many injuries, whatever. Top to bottom, this team stands no chance against Tampa.
Yeah, I think Tampa. I think San Francisco. And I think we're going to get to the rest of the division as well, too. I think those two teams, for sure.
Yeah, and I can't wait to get to New Orleans and you just wanting to talk about Jameis forever and ever and ever.
Tamis. I call him Tamis now.
Oh, my God. You are just going to go on. That has to be probably a two-hour episode.
Yeah, it sounds good. I cannot. We were going to do the South tonight, but we'll do it later this week, probably Tuesday, and I can't wait.
Good. All right.
My nipples are so hard. So my cute little prediction is that Aaron Rodgers, Davante Adams, and Robert Tonyan are all worse this year, but Aaron Jones is going to be marginally better.
All right, mine is that Randall Cobb is a top 20. I'm going that far with this. Because, again, man, if Aaron Rodgers is healthy, that's what it's all relying on. If Aaron Rodgers is healthy, Randall Cobb is healthy, dude, it's a safety blanket all day long. It's all day long. It's all it's going to be.
Yeah, I really hope not. So the over-under here is 10 for the Green Bay Packers. 10.
This division is just a nightmare. I'm going to pick the over. I'm going to go 11.
You're pissing me off.
Did you do it again?
I did 11 too.
Oh my God. Dude, you are copying my notes.
Can you see that?
Yeah, I see that you copied my notes.
I got 11 also.
Yeah, and you say that I don't look things up. Turns out you're trying to copy everything that I look up.
Yeah, so I got 11 too. So the last team here, the Minnesota Vikings.
Can't wait. This is great.
So if you remember last year, the Minnesota Vikings started 1-5. They lost. They went 1-2 in one score games. They lost to Tennessee and Seattle by 1 point. And they went. And then after that 1-5 start, they proceeded to go 5-1. It was a weird year for the Vikings. And I picked the Vikings to win the division last year because I was all in on the Packers regression. This offseason, they added some defensive starters. But I think most importantly, though, is their two defensive stars, Danielle Hunter and Anthony Barr, are going to be healthy. Eric Kendricks hurt his ankle in Week 12 and was out for the rest of the year. He's one of the five best inside linebackers in football. He's going to be here as well, too. They had Dalvin Tomlinson, Patrick Peterson, who's bad, and Xavier Woods to start on this defense, too. So, like, are you feeling better at all about the Vikings going into this year than you kind of thought, too? Or are you just kind of done with this team, kind of in the same mold as maybe like the Bears are in, as when those teams are just kind of stuck in where they're at?
Yeah, exactly. It's been there, done that. You're just going to regress at this point. There is no way that I'm supposed to expect that all of a sudden Minnesota is going to get better. What are they going to get better at? What are they improved at? You're saying that they're going to have both of their defensive guys being come back and healthy, which I agree, by the way, not to say that Barr is somebody that's just, I turn a blind eye to. It's just, it's not enough. And I just don't expect this team to really do much because this is Dalvin Cook or bust for me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. Well, defensively, I think the biggest thing, though, is by adding Tomlinson and Sheldon Richardson. And they also signed Michael Pierce last year, but he's out because of COVID. He'll be back. That's three, like, really good, big, fat, slobbering run stoppers. And they needed that. They had one of the worst run defenses in football. They were 30th in DVOA at 1.9%. They had a couple of games last year where they were completely, you know, overmatched in the run game, where it was kind of embarrassing watching them try to tackle it all. The one downside thing to this front seven is Nick Vigil's terrible at weak side linebacker. And for whatever reason, he always gets a chance to start, you know, here and there too. But I think that's kind of the biggest difference, though, from last year to this year, is that they upgrade their front seven, you know, by health, by one, two, by adding these big fat guys to help stop the run. And like their secondary is just, it's weird because Zimmer's such a freak show that he can kind of take anything and kind of craft a good defense out of it. He did it last year with, you know, Jeff Gladney, and Cameron Dantzler starting, and Mike Hughes, and they were the worst secondary of football week one, and they became kind of okay down the stretch, but they did have to cut Gladney after his, you know, domestic dispute that he had this offseason too. So their cornerbacks are Patrick Peterson, who was terrible last year, Bishop Breeland, Mackenzie Alexander, Cameron Dantzler. Their safety is free safety Xavier Woods, and they lost Anthony Harris, which in like a really cheap contract to the Eagles, which is surprising, and they still have Harrison Smith too. Kind of the interesting thing about this defense or their secondary is they signed a lot of guys who are like good with like advanced metrics, like success rate, but those numbers tend to fluctuate wildly year to year. But that's what like Woods was good at, and Breeland as well too. But I don't think those players are very good though, you know? And so I think this pass defense is going to need probably like 12 weeks to try to find hits any sort of stride whatsoever. And then we're going to kind of see some games against like Russell Wilson had against them, or Aaron Rodgers had against them, where they give up, you know, 37 points because of deep passes.
Didn't Patrick Peterson get suspended last year for drugs?
No, he was just bad last year.
I thought he was suspended. Maybe I'm wrong then. He could. Man, he was awful then. Either way, I don't mind Xavier Woods. I don't mind Breeland, by the way. I think Breeland is just a fine little corner.
Oh, yeah, he was suspended 6 games. But that was in 2019, though.
See.
Always live in the past.
That's what I always do. But when it comes down to this secondary, I agree in some ways. I actually don't mind the secondary overall. I think Peterson would be fine. I think really it's just there's nobody that's dominant. You don't really have like a dominant corner here or somebody that like, oh, he's going to be able to just man-to-man. But overall, I mean, I don't mind the secondary whatsoever. I feel like they're at least going to be able to make some plays. And I like –
interesting. Because they play a lot. They play a lot of cover four, cover seven, so it's a lot more like it's a lot more built around like route recognition than it is like playing pure man to man. And if like, and it's a veteran secondary too. Zimmer's great at coaching a defense like that. So, yeah, I mean, I can buy that.
Well, yeah, and it's just coming, and that's kind of the point. I mean, you even saying like, oh, it's going off of like them kind of knowing the movements, things like that. That's what these guys have been doing though.
I think the hard thing, though, is for them last year is they couldn't stay on top of routes. So they were, like, scorched by vertical routes last year. And so, like, yeah, if they have the speed to stay on top of the vertical routes, I think they have, like the awareness as a secondary to be good at, like, passing routes and that sort of thing. And also, Kendricks and Barr are great in pass coverage, too. And that takes off a lot of pressure as far as them, like, having to worry about anything inside breaking, too.
Well, no, and that's why when it comes to this defense, I feel like that it is, I'm going to say it's probably like second to Chicago. I would say that it's better. I feel more comfortable with this defense than I do Green Bay's.
I think about the same.
I would still give it the nod to
Minnesota. I think Chicago's, yeah, by far the best division. Yeah. I think theirs and Green Bay's about the same.
I don't know. Either way, when it comes down to this Minnesota team, I don't think the defense is enough, and that's why I always go back to the Dalvin Cook and bust. It's because this team is all about just kind of controlling the entire game, and if they're not able to control that game, it's lost. There's just no way they're going to be able to come back. Kirk Cousins, if he has to throw more than 15 times, is not going to be able to work. The defense is going to be able to sustain for so long, but that's why they need the running game to just be able to kind of keep everybody off the field for a certain time. If Kirk Cousins and all, I think Kirk Cousins is going to be terrible this year.
I think Kirk Cousins is kind of underrated now.
Nope. I think he's going to be awful.
I think he's kind of underrated. We're like, yeah, like if he's going against a lot of pressure and you're down behind and you're behind and he's having to throw 42 times, like that's a recipe for disaster. But like, yep. Cousins is still like a pretty all right quarterback, you know? Like I think the reason why I hated Cousins so much over the years was that there's this idea that, well, the Vikings have Cousins now, so now they're going to win a Super Bowl. And that was far from the case. Like, you can't pay Cousins $40 million and win a Super Bowl. You can pay Cousins $25 million and maybe be able to be like a championship game score contender. But his contract is too much for the production that he has, you know?
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, okay, I get what you're saying about Kirk Cousins, and I understand that people would love to be able to have him on his team, a.k.a. Denver. But when it comes to...
Well, the Broncos don't need a quarterback now.
Okay, I'm not going to listen to the Teddy stuff. I'm not going to do it.
Guess I know what he did? He won the quarterback job.
God. Oh, my God.
He beat out Drew Locke. It's Teddy from week one.
Congratulations for beating out Drew Locke. I'm so excited. That must have been really hard.
So Cousins' cap hit is $31 million this year.
It's not even bad. My quarterback is 75.
But he got 3 years. Remember, he got 3 years, $90 million, and it was all guaranteed. But next year goes up to $45 million. But if they cut him, they would take $45 million. Oh no, it's $45 million. But if they cut him, they would get $0 back. So they're
in the offseason for a quarterback. Weren't they rumored to be trying to trade up? They're not confident.
No. What I'm saying though, if they cut Cousins this year, they would take on $76 million in dead money, and they would lose $45 million against the cap. Next year, if they cut him, they would have $45 million in dead money, but they would lose $45 million off the cap, so it comes out to $0 gained at all.
That sounds awful.
Yeah. So they're stuck with Cousins for 2 years. And the reason why I hated Cousins was because he got 3 years, $90 million guaranteed, which was a ridiculous contract for, you know, quarterback of his performance, you know?
Can Dak be paid 3 years, $90 million? Because I would happily take that.
It's too late.
No, it's not too late. You say it's a ridiculous contract. He deserves a ridiculous contract, right? Why don't we just do that? I'll do it.
I do think
$75 million, man. $75 million this 1 year. 75.
I think Cousins is underrated now, though.
Why? Because he only throws 8 to 10 times a game,
man.
That's not underrated. You're not doing anything.
Do you know who they play week one?
Ooh.
I cannot wait for this game.
Oh.
I'm so excited. They're playing the Bengals in Cincinnati.
You mean
it is going to be so... That's going to be such a fun game.
Yeah, when Joe Burrow destroys him, I'm going to laugh my ass off.
It's going to be... I cannot wait for that one. What a weird game.
That's not a weird game. Again, you're Dalvin Cook or bust. Dalvin Cook gets 120 yards, they win. If he doesn't, they lose. That's all this team is.
Would you rather have Dalvin Cook or Derrick Henry?
Dalvin Cook.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, this year I would. Derrick Henry, come on, man. You can only do so much. By the way, did you know that Derrick Henry was only the guy that's ever done over 2,000 yards in high school, college, and NFL? Only person to ever do it.
Makes sense. I agree with that.
That's a truck right there. That's a man. But he can only do it so much.
Yeah, we talked about it. I think he has one more year left in him. But
hold on before you go on, I gotta reverse this though. What do you think on Derrick Henry versus Dalvin?
I think the pass catching makes it closer, but I think pure runner, it's Derrick Henry.
Okay.
And also, sure. Henry doesn't get hurt.
Don't say that. You better knock on some freaking wood right now.
Yeah, I'm knocking on this particle board right here.
Do it.
So going back to Minnesota, so you know who their offensive defensive coordinator is?
Who?
It's Gary Kubiak's son is their offensive coordinator. That's why he stayed on last year. He's like, yeah, I'll take the OC role so I can coach my son up. And his son is Clint with a K, Kubiak. And they have co-defensive coordinators, Mike Zimmer's son, Adam Zinner, and then Andre Patterson. So nepotism really runs wild here in Minnesota too.
So I might as well be keeping it in the family.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, I love it.
Going back to offensive line play, I'm excited to watch this offensive line because it's intriguing to me. It's Rashad Hill, left tackle. They drafted Christian Darrison in the first round. He had groin surgery, so we don't know when he's going to play if he does. It's Ezra Cleveland at left guard. It's Garrett Bradbury at center. He's been bad, though. his entire career so far. It's Eli Udo at right guard and Brian O'Neill at right tackle. And O'Neill's a guy who, like, he's kind of like Mike McGlinchey in San Francisco. He looks like he should be a lot better than he is, but just is a great, like, specimen as far as, like, a body goes. So, but that's their offensive line. I'm excited to watch their film more in-depthly this year than I have previous years, going back to the Lions' offensive line, too.
You're not going to watch this team at all. Oh, my God.
I'm going to watch their offensive line video.
Oh my God. It's the only thing you're going to watch on any team. Hey, Taylor, I watched this team. No, you didn't. You only watched the offensive line. When it comes down to Minnesota, though, I feel like, yes, I agree. I like their offensive line because they have to have a good offensive line. If they don't, then this team just will fall apart immediately. But overall, I mean, I still feel like Detroit has the better one.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. So,
I mean, I think the Packers have the best offensive line in the division still.
Wait, best division?
Best offensive line, yeah.
No, I'm not saying that still, no.
So you're saying Detroit, then Green Bay, then Minnesota?
Yeah. I'm going to say this, Matt. Again, when I'm going back to Detroit here, Jared Goff is just going to be sitting here.
Seven seconds.
He's just going to be like, what do I do? What do I do?
So you know that band 30 Seconds to Mars?
I love that band, 30 Seconds to Mars. All right,
so it's seven seconds to 5 yards is the Jared Goff version.
That works.
You like it?
I do. 7 seconds to 5 yards works. You might as well make that. Oh, that's got to be the title of the show.
No, it's going to be AFC North season preview.
Okay, that works.
But I'm glad that I thought of that because I'm going to write an article and I can say real fun things like this.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Oh, whatever. So, by the way, Justin Jefferson, obviously numero uno, correct?
For sure. Thielen was kind of took a down, kind of down year last year, the last 2 years even.
It's because he seems to have more nicks these days.
Yeah, he has.
It's like a little bit slower, maybe like an ankle, something along those lines. But I will say,
he was healthy last year. 2 years ago, he got hurt, though. But yeah, Jefferson's incredible.
Yeah, and Jefferson talks too much, though, for my liking. He needs to saddle his titties down at times. When it comes, though, for this year, I feel like Justin Jefferson is going to have a big one. Because Kirk Cousins is only going to have one guy to throw to when it comes to just throwing it up in the air. Because Thielen's just going to be that slant guy.
Yeah, Thielen had 14 touchdowns. Jefferson had 7 at all last year. But Jefferson is the better receiver. He had 3.4 more yards to catch than Thielen did. And Cousins threw 552 passes last year, 35 touchdowns, 11 receptions. He was good last year. He was like the 14th best quarterback last year, you know? Again, like, Cousins isn't worth the contract that he gets, but he's pretty good, you know?
You say he's still not worth the contract, but I still feel like it is. $3 million is nothing these days.
Well, it's because they restructured it, but next year it's $45 million.
Is it $75 million?
No, it's not. Do you want to see any Kellen Mond at all this year?
No, I don't want to see
I want to see some Mond. I want to see Mond in like a Taysom Hill sort of role where he comes in, runs a read pass option, does a little bit of zone ready, you know, things like that. Some fun, cute plays with Kellen Mond as a runner.
They would never do that because it would hurt Kirk Cousins' feelings so bad.
Oh, he won't like that.
They would destroy his confidence immediately. Then he's on the bench, and then he's just doing this with his hands up. What do you want me to do? I can't play. You won't play me. Kirk Cousins, the moment you crush that man's confidence, the moment he has nothing.
Yeah, and he really can get overwhelmed with pressure. It's like a bad amount. So my key little prediction for the Vikings is that, like I alluded to in the previous segment, Green Bay, if Green Bay loses Aaron Rodgers for 4 games, or they lose 2 to 3 defensive starters, the Vikings are winning the division.
All right, my cute little prediction. They missed the playoffs.
Minnesota misses the playoffs?
Yep.
Yeah, I would expect them to as well. I just think the door is open.
Spot? Are you kidding me? No way.
Oh, I don't think them as well. I think the problem with the North is their schedules are too tough this year. You will not see 2 wild card teams in the North.
No, you'd see 1.
No, you're going to see, yeah, of course, you have to have 1. But there's going to be 0 wild card teams here.
Ooh, I like your style, but that's what I mean. I agree.
0. I think you could see 3 out of the West and 2 in the South.
2 in the East?
Zero. There should be zero in the East, but one in the East.
Zero in the East. You wanted to say that? You might as well have said Taylor, shut the hell up.
Yeah. Yeah. There's three wild cards now. And yeah, you can maybe see two in the West and two in the South this year. Or two in the West and one in the South, I mean.
Two in the East. Got it.
Instead, two in the pink, one in the stink. Two in the West, one in the South.
Four in the stink.
No, it'd be two in the North, one in the South. So it'd be.
I'm still standing by East.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying, though.
I know what you're saying.
It'd be two in the North, one in the South instead. Of course. So the over-under here is 9 for the Minnesota Vikings.
Dude, I would not bet on any of these freaking teams. My God. All right.
Shit. All right, let me go first this time.
Okay, go ahead.
So I would pick them at 9, but I'm going to take the under at 9 and 8.
I want to pick 10 just so I can also have Derek. I just think that they may make, you know what? No. 10-7. They may make it with 10-7, though.
I just think the schedule is too tough. I had it written down here at 10 wins, and I was thinking about it.
Yeah,
I think they could do 10, but I think the schedule is just way too tough, though.
To make it different, I'll put the over. I'll do 10.
Okay.
Yeah, I will do different. I'll stick by because I was thinking 10 the entire time. I just think that they may make the playoffs with 10. The NFC is not that good.
Well, I think we're going to see some Jameis in the playoffs this year.
Oh, my God. We're not doing this now. We're not doing this.
It's funny how we turned that around. We did that Power Rankings podcast, and you know, they have a better quarterback this year. It's like, yeah, but they lost a lot of starters, and now, dude, like 2 months later, I just Jameis.
Yeah, I know. And
did you see his preseason stats?
No. I don't. Oh, wait.
He's been really, really, really good. That was in one half of one game.
Okay, I thought like he's been ridiculous. Dude, when Drew Brees turns to you and says, this is your team now, you better freaking perform.
Yeah, he's been really good.
Remember, he didn't say it to Taysom Hill.
No, of course he didn't. Yeah, he threw for 123 yards and 2 touchdowns, 9-10 the first quarter.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's why, by the way, I've said
he threw a 53.3-yard air distant touchdown pass to Marquez Callaway. He got his eyes fixed. He's ready to go.
Don't jump on my bandwagon here. I've already said that Saints are a top 5 team in the NFC this year.
I completely agree now.
I said it before they picked their quarterback.
Hey, I'm always a few years away. Jameis is going to be so good this year.
I hate you. Jameis. I don't even want to talk about them. I want to pick them to lose now because of you.
So I guess on Tuesday, we'll be back with the NFC South to talk about the Panthers, Saints, Falcons, and Buccaneers, and then we'll try to knock out the last one, you know, this week or if not early next weekend, so then we can do a prediction show and start the weekly previews here in 2 weeks because September 13th football begins again.
Whatever. I don't want to do any of those shows with you. I don't like you. Yeah. You made me mad.
Did I make you mad this one?
That's all it is. It's offensive. Oh, my God. Offensive line, Taylor. Offensive line. I love offensive line. I don't want to hear it.
I'm sad you didn't like my Detroit Lions take.
No, I don't like you because it's Jared Goff. I don't want to hear any. I'm not watching that, but I'm buying your son a jersey.
Yeah, he's still in preemie clothes right now, so maybe give him like a 0 to 6 month one. That would work well.
No, I'm going to get him more than that. He's going to grow into the jersey.
Yeah, get like a 0 to 6 month one.
No, I'm going to get him like a one-year-old one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's got to be covering.
So it won't fit him until next year, and by that time, Jared Goff's going to be a backup for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to have it for the whole season. He can't cop out.
He's going to have it for years.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, well, it's all very fun.
Every season.
Okay, well, I guess to recap, I forgot to do that part. I'm sorry. The producer's going to be on my ass tonight. Chicago at 7.5 wins. I have the under at 7-10. You have the under at 7-10. Green Bay or Detroit at 4.5 wins. We both have the under at 4 wins. Green Bay, the over-under is 10 wins. We both have the over at 11 wins. And Minnesota at 9 wins. I have the under at 9-8, and you have the over at 10-7.
I hate you because you copied me.
Yeah, it was a little gross.
Yeah, it was gross.
Until next time, I'm Matt Weston. Thank you for listening to Battle Red Radio. And thank you, Breon Snyder-Taylor.
I'm going to go watch more True Blood.
Hell yeah. Suki.
Suki.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.